The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Today I'm going to talk about turning the heart around. Reverend Master Hubert uses this expression in his translations, and I really like it. I find it very helpful, turning the heart around. Because the heart is what motivates us. And when we turn the heart towards something, we're kind of propelled towards it. It's what we really want, whether it's love or success or wealth or the Dharma. You know, it's what the heart wishes for. Turning of the heart is not a turning of the mind. That won't do it. We can find the Dharma intellectually satisfying and read books about it, and that's all very great, and it's a start. But it won't get us there. And when people talk about the heart, they often mean feeling and emotion, but that's not quite it. It's deeper than that, especially this turning of the heart. It's our deepest wish. Whether we know it or not, whether we know what our wish is or not, that turning of the heart is actually the wish that underlies all our wishes and wants and desires and not likings and all that. We may not have any idea really what our true heart's wish is, but sometimes the heart turns for us. It's not always a deliberate thing. Oh, I'm going to turn my heart towards this. Sometimes it just happens all by itself. We suddenly find ourselves facing like this and thinking, what happened? I've got a different view here. And when we're training, we turn the heart many times in our lives, not just once. When we start thinking about training, that's a turning of the heart. Something isn't satisfying. Or our whole way of seeing things is transformed by something, whether some big event or some seemingly little thing. Everything's suddenly different. We have a different way of looking at things. We want to do things differently. A dramatic example that comes to mind is the man who wrote Amazing Grace. He's the captain of a slave ship. I think you mostly know the story. And they're out at sea and there was a terrible storm. And he prays to God for mercy. And they presumably got to land safely because he survives. And he had this great conversion. And eventually he became a clergyman and wrote Amazing Grace. I was interested to note, he didn't do it right away. I thought he immediately would abandon his career and rush off and, you know, become a clergyman. But no, it took him 5 or 6 or 7 years to get to that. But he did it eventually. Eventually he could no longer engage in the slave trade, and he became a clergyman and wrote this beautiful hymn that we all know, very inspiring. A huge turning of the heart, which he had no intention of doing. It just came upon him, I think, and took him by surprise. And for us, sometimes there's a big event, like seeing impermanence. Somebody we love dies or gets sick, or we diagnosed with some illness. Or some other thing happens, a major event, whether for the good or usually for not so very great, we see things change in some major way. Turning the heart around, as I said, it's often not premeditated, it's just as it happens to us naturally. And usually it's not that dramatic. You know, we just have these little inklings that something isn't quite right and we want to do something different. A feeling of unease, dissatisfaction. Things aren't what they might be, or there's something, I'm missing something here. My life's going by and I'm not in it. You know? Or I don't like myself very much and I want to do something, I need to do something differently, I just don't like me. And this is the turning of the heart. Even if we don't know what we're turning towards, it's a kind of turning away from how we've been doing things or how we've been seeing things or how the world appears to be, looking for something else, a turning of the heart, a sensing of that deep wish. We don't understand it yet, maybe, but we know we need to do something different. And we begin to maybe practice the Dharma, meditate and try to keep to the precepts. And then we start to see that our suffering isn't all due to other people or to our circumstances. It's what we're doing. Some of the time, most of the time actually, not just other people and what the things that happen to us, it's not everybody else's fault. And this is a major turning of the heart, to stop blaming other people and circumstances for our suffering and to take responsibility and see, what am I doing that makes me miserable or at least makes it worse, you know? To see that we can actually do something differently. That is not that somebody else is making me angry and I'm helpless, but actually I've chosen to get angry somehow, no matter what they may be doing or have done that gets me steamed or appears to get me steamed. I've actually made a choice to become steamed or angry or whatever. We can make wiser choices, and we learn the way to make wiser choices through training, through seeing what we're doing and not clinging on quite so tightly. And it can take a long time to see that we can change and that we are in fact changing. Sometimes it looks like it's not much is happening, you know. I'm as cross as I ever was. But then when we look, we might see, if we're angry for instance, even if we still have angry thoughts churning in our mind, maybe we're a little more restrained and we don't just bite somebody's head off. Maybe we can just keep our mouth shut. This is wonderful. It's radical to be able to keep our jaws closed and refrain from spouting hot words of hate, as they say. Lovely, love that, spouting hot words of hate. Anyway, if that's all we can do, it actually makes a great difference, because we're not creating suffering for somebody else, and we're lessening the suffering for ourselves, because we all know what it's like when we lose our temper and then we feel bad. It's much worse than just being cross and just kind of, maybe just wait, you'll get over it, it's all right, we can do something. I don't have to get mad. I can at least keep quiet. But, you know, makes a huge difference to our relationships with other people and with ourselves, because we don't have that awful feeling of, oh God, I've done it again. You know? Even if we still have angry thoughts, we're getting somewhere. We don't have to be despairing. It's better. It's better. And when we make a mistake or break the precepts, whether it's anger or something else, or hurt somebody, every time we see this and resolve to change and to do better, we're turning the heart around. Every time we do that, every time we sort of see beyond our little bubble of upset, whatever it might be, or grasping at something, I want it now, and we think, oh dear, what did I do? I'm so sorry. Oh, why did I do that? That awful feeling. That's a turning of the heart, because we're seeing things in a different way. Having been all full of our wanting or our not wanting or our disliking or whatever it was, to suddenly see, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be greedy and selfish. I don't want to be seen as greedy and selfish. At least it's embarrassment, if nothing else. But I actually would like to be kinder, less greedy, less selfish, because you know that actually helps with suffering. Turning the heart around in these little ways, it actually makes a huge difference. And when we turn around, we see something different. We have a different view. We see things from a different perspective. What we're seeing now may seem completely real, convincing, this is it. And then we turn to another look, to have a look at some other way, and it's different. And we realize that our previous view was just a view. It's not total reality. And it's amazing how convincing our view, our first view, can be, and how radical a change can take place when we turn the heart around, change our view. It's quite humiliating, actually, because we think we're right, or I know what I'm doing, and then suddenly it's different. As an example, supposing we are upset with somebody, we had a disagreement, we're all mad at them, and then we find that something has happened to them. They've been diagnosed with an illness, or their wife has just left them, or something like this. And we think, oh no, and our anger can just evaporate. We feel really sad that we made it worse for the person. You know, our anger just kind of shrivels up and dies, because it's not reality, it's just feeling, and we can let it go. And often, when our view changes like that, suddenly something else comes into the picture. What we thought before was so real just disappears, because it's not actually the reality. Shallow and empty can be our view, or our feeling, or our attachment, or whatever it is. Judgment. I'm always talking about judgment, because it's such a major difficulty for so many of us. Judging ourselves, judging other people. It's not the way of kindness. And to turn the heart around is to relinquish judgment, to relinquish our view of something, our clinging to something, and to see something different, to turn the heart around in all the different ways we talk about. Sometimes we're really hard on ourselves. We want to be better. We want to train the way we think training should be done. We have some idea of what training is, and we're not doing it the way we'd like to be doing it. We blame ourselves for falling short of our ideals, or for thinking that everybody else is judging us. Oh God, I'm this awful person. Everybody must think I'm a total worm. They see my wormness. This is awful. And I would like to not be a worm anymore. I'd like to be, you know, wise, kind, have it together, be, you know, better. Or, well, if I'm a worm, look at that person over there, they're being very wormly. I don't do that, at least. And I can feel a bit better about my wormness, because at least I don't do that. But that's not very helpful either. It actually is miserable. It's a miserable little worm box we shut ourselves into. And I think there's a better way. We can turn the heart around. To turn the heart around, to relinquish the judgment, to turn towards compassion, to have a wider kind of view, a wider kind of eye, to open to something bigger than my little worm view. Usually we come to training because we're looking for truth, looking for enlightenment, looking for something, looking for something that will take away our suffering. And often, you know, this idea of enlightenment. We practice the Dharma, we meditate, we try to keep to the precepts because we want to realize the truth, realize enlightenment. And for many of us, it doesn't seem to be happening. We feel just as unenlightened as we might ever have been. We haven't had some great, wonderful thing striking us from above or anything like that. Our suffering hasn't all disappeared. We feel just as crabby as ever, or whatever it is. But actually, training is happening, and it is different. And training isn't about getting something. Some of us are talking about this yesterday. It's not about getting something. It's about giving ourselves completely to something without expectation. Giving ourselves to our training, to that aspiration to practice kindness and keep to the precepts, because it is our heart's deepest wish, actually. And we know that. And we're actually doing it. We are becoming a little wiser, certainly a little kinder. Sometimes people have a major experience of truth, and this really can be a huge turning of the heart and help them immeasurably. But if this happens to a person, they have to learn from it and use it well. Otherwise, it disappears on them. Because it's what we do that actually matters. How we treat people, how we keep to the precepts, how we try to practice stillness in the midst of conditions. And it's the training, it's the work that we have to do. No matter what, we all got to do the work. And turning the heart is part of that. Allowing the heart to turn. And for many of us, this great enlightenment is not quite like that. It's more like seeping in gradually. As they say, if you walk through the mist long enough, you get soaked through, but you don't notice it. It just comes on you gradually. And you find you're soaked through with water. Maybe water of compassion. And I think the hallmark of real training is the letting go of selfishness. And that with that comes gratitude and humility, and not looking for some great thing or thinking I'm some great person. It's just relinquishing selfishness in our little ways. Relinquishing our self-centered view of I'm the most important thing. And I think this is the real turning of the heart. This relinquishment of this view of me and what I need and want, and me as the middle of it all, you know. Seeing that we're not the most important thing. And that our views and opinions and our likes and dislikes are just that. No big deal. It's just my views and opinions and my likes and my dislikes, and they don't have to be the middle of everything. Nothing of great importance. And to have an experience of truth, I think, whether it's a big blinding flash or the seepage of mist, I think is basically to see that there's something a whole lot bigger than me. I keep saying this, but I'm going to say it again. And it's this thing that's a whole lot bigger, whatever we like to call it, Buddha nature, the eternal, unborn, undying, Dharmakaya, whatever it is, God. This is the most important thing, much more important than me and my stuff. And to turn the heart towards this. I am just a small part of this great matter. I'm not in any way separate from it. And this is so, of course, for all of us. We are not separate from this. We are just part of it. And the more we can live from that and trust in that, whether we seem to see it or not, the more we turn the heart around, away from me and my stuff and what I want, and towards that which is much more important, vital, in fact, the vital thing, far more important than all our little concerns, worries, wantings. As we let go of our self-centered view of me as the center of the universe, we find compassion. Compassion for ourselves, compassion for other beings, because we know we're not that different. I'm not separate from everybody else and special. We're all pretty much the same. People do wildly different things. But in fact, we're just part of the one body. We're just a little cell, as somebody said yesterday, a little cell of this one body. And what hurts one cell, one part, hurts the others. And what helps one part helps the others, because we're all connected. The same blood flows through all of us, as it were. There's not a wall between us. What we do radiates out and affects other beings, all other beings, more than we can imagine, whether for good or ill. When we're angry and crabby, this radiates crabbiness further than we can think. And when we practice kindness and generosity, and love for beings. This also radiates out through and helps in ways we cannot imagine. When one being harms another, we're all affected. And if we can train ourselves not to do harm, but to practice kindness, to relinquish judgment as best we can of ourselves and other beings, and to know that we're all fundamentally the same, no matter what beings do, and there's all kinds of stuff going on in the world at the moment, but it's not that there's the good people and the bad people. They're just people. And when one part of the body is in turmoil, maybe other parts can just offer kindness and non-judgment and offer merit to those who are in turmoil, because it's not a happy life to be in turmoil. Here we are, surrounded by images of compassion. Wherever we look, there it is, in different ways, little tiny kanzions, great big ones. Every time we turn around, compassion is there. That's what it's telling us. Compassion takes all these different forms. Achalanatha, I always bow to him when we have this ceremony, because he is a manifestation of compassion, of Avalokiteshvara. So I bow to him too, even though he looks wrathful. He's one of my favorite forms. The kind ones, the nice resigned middle-aged lady over there, who I really love, who's sitting on the altar over there, and the young ones and the old ones and the ones carrying babies and ones with dogs and all this, they're all manifestations of compassion. Wherever we look, we can find compassion in all beings. When we're doing our bowing, we're bowing to you lot, by the way, as well, not just bowing to the kanzions, but we're bowing to all of you. Very nice. We can have compassion for all beings, compassion for all our wrong views and mistakes, and compassion for the wrong views and mistakes of other beings. We can turn the heart around. Kindness, patience, compassion. It's the only way. And that's our talk for the day. Thank you. It's nice to see you all. Thank you for coming.